Over the years, I've learnt a few memory verses, and it's so useful because it comes straight back to you, so you know where to look things up, and without looking things up, to have God's word there. And if we ever go blind or get put in prison without access to a Bible, it'll be extra useful to have memorised as much scripture as possible. Let's turn back to Colossians chapter 2. If you've lost the place, it was page 198 in the New Testament. And let's pray. Father God, may we be filled with the knowledge of your will. Give us spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we may live lives worthy of you and grow in knowing you. Amen. Well, a number of people have put their trust in Jesus recently, which is really exciting news. I've heard of a number of people over the last couple of weeks, as the gospel was preached so many times here. It's only a week ago we finished the festival here with that very memorable Songs of Praise service. And that was the last of a whole series of events where Roger Carswell clearly explained the good news of Jesus and invited people to pray a prayer, putting their life in Jesus' hands. For those who genuinely prayed that prayer of commitment with Roger for the first time, a new life has begun. There's been great rejoicing in heaven and on earth for many of us who've spoken to people who've put their trust in Jesus. Others of us have been going in the Christian life for quite some time. If we're in either of those categories, brand new baby Christian or long in the tooth follower of Jesus, we might be asking now, a week after an exciting festival, what next? And the answer from God's word to us this evening is, stay where you are. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Don't go anywhere else. Becoming a Christian is receiving Christ Jesus the Lord as Lord. And the second stage of Christian living is living with Christ Jesus as Lord. And the next stage of Christian living is living with Christ Jesus as Lord. And advanced level Christian living is living with Christ Jesus as Lord. Yes, we're to keep growing and learning, and our relationship with him is to deepen and strengthen, as we'll see in the next two Sunday evenings when we focus on the latter part of what went up on the screen earlier, looking at verse 7. But nothing fundamentally changes now from here on. It's basically more of the same. Yes, the footnote, the letter L, if you are very observant in these Bibles, is correct. When Paul tells new Christians about living their lives, the actual word that he uses means walk. Christian life is walking, always walking with Jesus. So there is progress, walking with Jesus, or to use the expression that's hard to visualize, walking in him, never apart from him. The way on in the Christian life is the same as the way into the Christian life, trusting Jesus as Lord. Paul encourages young Christian believers that they've got it all in Christ and they don't need to go anywhere else. Looking at the rest of chapter 2 this evening, I've identified five dangers that Paul warns us about, that there's a danger some people might start to put their trust in these five other things instead of trusting Christ alone, or that if we don't have these things, we might feel inadequate with Christ alone, where in fact we're not. Because the first reminder is, you've got it all in Jesus. Look at verse 9. For in him, Christ, Jesus, in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The whole fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Bodily. Isn't that extraordinary. How can God, the creator of the universe, big as he is, fit into a human body? But he's all there in Jesus. And what's even more wonderful is verse 10. And you, Christian believers, have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. So God's put all his fullness in Jesus, and everyone who believes in Jesus comes to fullness as well. So if I'm a Christian believer, if I belong to Jesus, if I'm in Jesus, I don't have anything missing. Some people can start to feel incomplete if they don't have a life partner, but being single doesn't make us any less complete and needn't mean we're unfulfilled. Look at verse 10 again. You have come to fullness in him, Jesus. And you've got it all in Jesus, not in clever arguments. So verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. Sometimes people tempt us to think that they've got a more intellectually rigorous version of Christianity, when in fact they're getting their faith from elsewhere other than the Bible, which is what is according to Christ, as verse 8 puts it. Don't let anyone take you captive with that, to tell you to get with the program of 21st century thinking. Don't let anyone tell you you're outdated, and don't let anyone make you feel inferior because you're less academic. You haven't been to university. You can't use long words. You can't use Latin words or anything else that's irrelevant to knowing Christ. Are you one of those people who feels a bit silly in a small group discussion, in a Bible study, if you can't follow the complicated arguments that some other people are thrashing around? It's okay. The person who's talking over your head probably doesn't understand what they're talking about either. Otherwise, they'd be able to put it clearly. Do you not understand what I'm saying here? I'm sorry, it's my fault. The point is simply, Jesus is enough. If an argument leads us away from Jesus, watch out. Don't be taken captive. You've got it all in Jesus. The second warning, you've got it all in Jesus and not in cultural badges. I'll read verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Circumcision, the cutting off of a little bit of flesh of a Jewish baby boy, was the kind of badge of membership of God's people in the Old Testament, in the time before Jesus, when Jewish cultural identity was linked to relationship with God. But the key thing now that God, in all his fullness, has come to us in Jesus and brought us to fullness in him, the key thing is spiritual circumcision. And again, I'll draw attention to the footnote in the Bible, the letter N this time, where what's translated as spiritual circumcision is more literally a circumcision made without hands. That expression, without hands, that it literally says, is making the point that our circumcision is not done by a person, it's done by God, and it's not therefore talking about that literal circumcision. It's a picture language, it's a figure of speech, it's a circumcision not done by hands. And the circumcision of Christ that it mentions in this verse isn't talking about the physical operation done on Jesus when he was 8 days old. It could mean one of two things, and people don't all agree over what it does mean. But some people say it's talking about the spiritual circumcision done by Christ. That is, the circumcision done on us in our hearts when we become Christians, putting off the flesh, that is, the sinful desires. I think actually it's more likely that the circumcision of Christ is a graphic metaphor for the death of Christ. On the cross, he was violently separated, not just from a little bit of flesh, but from his whole body as he was killed. And when we put our trust in Christ, and baptism is the sign of this, we die with him. Our old self goes. We're buried and we're raised to new spiritual life. And that's how God's power works in us by faith. Do you see how irrelevant it is whether or not you've had that little bit of flesh chopped off? I'm not aware of the circumcision issue itself being a big deal for anyone in Crowborough at the moment. And I guess it's for the Colossian Christians, it was probably only an issue for the men and not the women. But maybe there are other cultural badges that can make us feel inadequate if we don't have them, like some of the Colossian Gentiles may have been feeling, or made to feel inadequate if they hadn't been circumcised. What would they be? Do people at church talk with a different accent than people in the rest of the town? Why is that? Well, many of us don't come from round here originally, but I hope no one feels there's anything inferior about having a local accent. Singing is something that's important to us in our church family as God's joyful, forgiven people. And maybe there are some people who can't sing very well. Does that mean that they should feel any less part of God's people? Of course not. So if you can't sing, don't let anyone look down on you for that. You've got it all in Jesus, not in cultural badges. You've got it all in Jesus, not religious rituals. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons or Sabbaths. Again, there are Jewish cultural issues here. Maybe some of the Gentile Christians were being told that if they wanted to be proper Christians, they had to celebrate these things, Jewish style. No, Paul says, you've got it all in Jesus. If you've got him, you can't add anything by adding Jewish ritual. And in any case, verse 17, these are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. He's the fulfillment of all that Jewish ritual. What about us in Crowborough today, if Jewish rituals are probably less of an issue for us than they were for the Colossians in the first century? Well, I've heard Christians condemn each other because they drink alcohol. I've heard Christians condemn each other because they don't drink alcohol. They're not exercising the freedom in Christ. I've seen Christians noticing other Christians bowing whenever they walk past the front of church and start to feel that they have to do the same. No. Or suppose you've become a Christian, but your job means you often have to work on Sundays. Or you smoke, and you've tried giving up smoking before, and you're sure that now is not the right time for you to give up. You feel there are more important moral and spiritual changes to make in your life right now without making everything harder. Well, those two examples, smoking and Sundays, are both things that are, I would say, not ideal for the Christian. And you'll benefit from changing them at some point when possible. But don't let anyone condemn you for your present situation. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian if you have to work on a Sunday or if you smoke. There are, of course, other things that do need dealing with straight away if we belong to Jesus. So, for example, sneaking a look ahead in Colossians to chapter 3, verse 5, at the top of the next page, Paul says to them, "Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, leaving behind from the old life: fornication, which means sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry." So he's not saying those things are okay and don't worry about those. But there's a great danger of thinking that we can add religious rituals to make us more acceptable to God, when in fact we've got it all in Jesus. And fourthly, you've got it all in Jesus, not weird experiences. Some Christians do have real experiences that many people would consider weird. Seeing visions, hearing God's voice audibly, as some of our festival interviewees talked about. Giving or receiving what's called prophecies. Meeting angels, speaking in tongues, miraculous healing. Some of these things can be used by God to help people. The problem comes when people insist on this kind of thing as necessary, authentic Christian experience. Say, if you haven't had this experience, then you can't be a sort of real Christian. You don't really have the Holy Spirit. Well, look at verse 18. "Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking." Their problem is that they get so absorbed in the weird thing that, verse 19, they're not holding fast to the head. They forget that we've got it all in Jesus. Jesus is the head from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. So just keep reading the Bible. That's how God speaks to us. And talk directly to God in prayer through Jesus, and God will bring growth. You've got it all already in Jesus. Fifth, you've got it all in Jesus, not in harsh regulations. And throughout history, asceticism has been associated with spiritual advancement. So people who fast, people who wear a hair shirt, or compulsory singleness, forbidding marriage for certain Christians. Those things are probably things that are not very prevalent in our particular time and place. The nearest we might come to it might be pressure to give up chocolate for Lent. But be on your guard. You have it all in Jesus already. So don't try and add something severity, thinking that it will bring you closer to God. So you may not remember all those five warnings and the details of them, but the key thing to remember is you've got it all in Jesus. Stay where you are. Don't move on to some other kind of Christianity. I've been speaking primarily this evening to the new Christian, to those of us who've put our trust in Christ and want to take the next step to go on with him. But it's worth mentioning the assumption. This is all, if you're in Christ, stay where you are. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't received Christ Jesus as Lord yet, then no clever arguments will do you any good. Outside of Jesus, you have nothing. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't received Christ Jesus as Lord, then no cultural badges will do you any good. You may talk very posh, you may sing with perfect pitch, but outside of Jesus, you're outside. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't received Christ Jesus as Lord, no religious rituals will get you anywhere. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't received Christ Jesus as Lord, no weird experiences will get you anywhere. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't received Christ Jesus as Lord, no harsh regulations will be of any value. The important thing is to put your trust in Jesus, receive him as Lord. And the way on in the Christian life that we've been seeing is the same as the way into the Christian life, is also the way in to the Christian life. And there may be some here this evening who need to take that first step and then carry on living with Jesus Christ as Lord. If we have received Jesus as Lord, then we have it all in Jesus. So let's not let anybody condemn us in any of these areas, and let's make sure that we don't condemn anyone else for any of these things.